Chapter 30, Columbia Professor Missing. After that, nothing more happened for a while. Thanksgiving break ended. November gave way to December, and classes and academic activities resumed with a vengeance. 2 weeks into it, the workload got ridiculous. It was the big push before finals. On December 16th, the Columbia Spectator ran a blurb about a professor forgetting to show up to teach his own seminar. The professor was Heinz Hochman, whose expertise was the bioremediation of oil spills. He was elderly and eccentric and fit the classic mold of the absent-minded professor. His legendary forgetfulness once included having forgotten to show up for his own wedding. The write-up said that when the well-liked professor wasn't spending time teaching seminars in microbiology on the campus, he was likely to be found at Columbia's Geological Observatory, Lamont Doherty, 15 miles up the Hudson, or else at his remote cottage getaway on Nantucket. The following day, the story took an ominous turn, appearing also in the New York Times, under the headline, Columbia Professor Missing. One more day, and the story in the Times jumped to the front page of the Metro section, beneath a headline that read, Professor's Disappearance on Nantucket May Be Suicide. Two photographs accompanied the article. One showed a dark-haired Heinz Hochman as an immigrant in an overcoat, stepping off an ocean liner with his young wife beside him. The other showed him as a wizened-faced old man in suspenders, hands thrust in pockets, standing alone at twilight before a rose-trellised saltbox cottage, the ocean gleaming in the background, the slanting rays of the sun are reflecting off the lenses of his owlish spectacles. The report said that his colleagues at Lamont Doherty had not seen him for months, but that this was not considered unusual. The professor's bioremediation experiments took time to cook, and he often retreated alone to Nantucket and was commonly there from August through the beginning of December, when his seminars began. His nearest Nantucket neighbors said that they had noticed his cottage was closed up, and since his car was not out in the yard, they had assumed he had left the island. After failing to show up to teach his seminar, however, and after the Nantucket police were notified, a search of his property disclosed his car in the garage. The police searched more closely and found a complete set of the professor's clothing, sweater, shirt, pants, underwear, wallet, and shoes, all neatly folded and stacked. They lay beneath a wild blueberry bush 75 yards from the back door of his cottage, and less than 100 yards down a sandy access road to the Atlantic. Police said the articles were in a sodden condition, but since they appeared to be old and threadbare anyway, it was difficult to say how long they had lain outdoors. No suicide note was found, but friends who knew him from town spoke of the professor as being moody since his wife had died and that he had lost weight. The last sighting to which any firm date could be attached was on August 28th. The shopkeeper at the Crow's Nest Grocery may have been the last person to see him before his disappearance, and he painted a completely different picture from the gloomy assessment of others, saying, "Yeah, sure, I remember the date. I remember it because of the lottery tickets he bought. Normally, the professor came in here every 2 weeks for his groceries and magazines. Last time he did, he bought only a few items. I asked him why, and he said he was leaving the island soon. But he didn't seem depressed to me. In fact, he seemed like the happiest guy in the world. Giddy-like. I told him he must either be in love or he had just won the lottery. He blushed. He blushed when I said that. And then he said that he had never played the lottery and maybe it was time he started. So I explained to him how it was done. And right on the spot, he bought as many tickets as he had cash for, around $60 worth. And then he turned around and gave half of them to me. I've read those reports where psychiatrists say that the professor's impulsiveness and his excited state represents the typical behavior that, what do they call, manic depressives often exhibit just before they kill themselves. Maybe that's so, but on the other hand, I keep asking myself, if he were going to kill himself, why would he bother buying lottery tickets in the first place? In my opinion, if he went swimming and drowned himself, it had to be by accident, he said. I don't think he would have done it on purpose.